Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, here we are in downtown
Mawson Lakes.
Mawson Lakes.
Beautiful day here too, Rick.
Well, if you call overcast, humid, and a drop of rain, good.
That's yeah, terrific. It is. Yeah. Anyway, Rick.
Anyway, we better get on with it because
on to the bowls.
I mean, you're going to dominate this show with
I will.
All the bowls.
Go for it. Two weeks of bowls. Firstly, Rick, you didn't ask me. You usually ask me the question.
How are you, Phil?
No.
Oh,
how did I go in bowls?
Oh, I don't want to ask you that question. Phil, how did you go?
Saturday bowls, Adelaide at Adelaide. Tough, always a tough gig down there. Clean them up. So we're sitting 8-1. Here we are, Christmas time. And on the Wednesday, Rick, ask me who we played.
Now, this is going to hurt, good listeners. Who did you play, Phil?
We played Gawler.
Gawler.
You know where Gawler is?
Well, they're a very good side.
Very. Oh, are they? Very, very good. Second.
How much did you get beaten by?
No, we beat them.
No.
And one of the ranks, Rick, which happened to be mine, 31-9 up. Rick, can you believe that?
31-9.
Yeah.
Did they go to the pub earlier? Yeah.
Merry Christmas. There we go. That's enough of that. Now, quickly, Rick, we've got the local bowls. So they're on the 10th of the 12th, this is. Mount Pleasant defeated Lindock, which was an upset. Mount Pleasant's second win for the year. Brendan Tahini, 35-11 over Wayne Williams. Kapunda beat Tanunda, quite comfortably. Sean Knight, 32 over Peter Bavistock, 14. Angaston, 87, Newry, 82.
Ooh.
Very close game.
That would be on the edge of the seats.
Yeah, after all their recruiting.
Yes.
Johnny Voigt was 26 and he beat Robbie Gropey, 14. I've got to do a call out to the boys from Angaston. They're keeping a bit of an eye on how I'm going in my pennants in town. So to all the Angaston boys, 31-9, I reckon that's a good enough win. I called into Matty Shorts. He's got a jewellery shop up at Angaston there. And I called in and he gave me a few tips just to get me over the line. So thanks, Shorty, for that. So got me over the line. So
That was playing in the women's comp.
Yeah, against Gawler.
Yeah.
And the last game was Frilling defeated
Yarunda.
You
can't say that, you know.
I just did. And my old mate Shane Marsland, 37 to Aaron Jones, 20. So that was on the 10th of the 12th. Now we go on to this last week's. Quickly, Rick, I'll run through these. Yarunda beating Mount Pleasant just, which was bottom two of the table. Aaron Jones, 32 to Hambley, 11. Lindock defeated Newry, which was probably going to go either way, 101-95. Jimmy Barr, 31 to Wayne Williams, 22. The unusual part about that, Jimmy Barr was on the losing team. He plays for Newry, but he had the biggest winning margin on the day. So
that's pretty unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And then the Tanunda and Freeling, well, we would have picked Tanunda to beat Freeling. But Tanunda 82, Frilling 107.
Oh.
Turtle Curtis 32 to Peter Bavistock. Copped another hiding, 13. So, so that was a bit of an upset.
Yes.
And the last game, so Angaston continued their winning streak in a big way this time. 129 to Kapunda, who are sitting their fourth. 129-75.
Heavens
alive. Yeah. Johnny Voigt, 40 to Sean Knight, 12.
How can that happen?
Unbelievable.
Eh?
And one thing I do have to point out that we, Matty Short, two losses in a row. He finally got back in the winner's circle this week by a slender margin of two or three shots. So well done, Shorty. So I know you listen on, so that's great.
You'll say anything to get a vote, won't you? Absolutely.
There you go.
Well, that's
the local bowls. I've shortened that up a bit, Rick.
I'm really impressed with the way you've comprehensively covered.
Yes, I did.
That, yeah.
But
I spent a bit too long on Gawler.
I could spend more time on that if you wanted to.
No, I don't need
to. How good they were coming out of this hand here. But anyway.
Well, there you go.
Look, I want to talk about they've shortened the test matches up now, Rick, finally.
Yes.
To a real good, just 2 days.
Well, I mean, did you see any of it?
I did.
Well, you're lucky.
Had to look quick.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Finally, they shortened them up to 2 days now.
That is a disgrace. And how a bloke, I don't know what a curator gets, but I would suggest that it would be in triple figures.
Oh, yeah.
And how he can serve up a pitch like that, as we discussed off air and everyone discussed on air and around, when you turn the TV on for the first ball, you could not
Where's
see.
The pitch?
Well, that's right. It might as well have been a tennis net. It was a disgrace.
I've got to admit, I don't know that much about cricket, but I did turn it on. I thought, hell, that pitch looks a bit green, doesn't it? And I thought, we're bowling, so we're you know.
What I find difficult to understand is that our dear friend David Sandersky, who is the curator there, it's not as though he's a beginner. He's been there for 25 years or something.
Oh, really?
Okay. And he admits that it wasn't up to standard. Well, hang on.
Isn't that his job?
Well, A, that's his job to make sure it is up to standard. And B, I could have told him it wasn't up to standard before they tossed the coin. And I guess, you know, worst case scenario is what it was, let alone did they serve up a ridiculous pitch. But both teams are fast bowlers strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And batting, exactly. Well, not poor.
Travis.
But yes. Well, what a man, Travis. Hey?
Hey, two men of the matches in a row now, Rick.
Unbelievable. He must.
He probably should be opening the batting when they go over to the continent there in India or somewhere.
Just as well I set you up before the show. Fancy someone suggesting that he should take Warner's place and be the opening batsman in India.
Have you seen his scores outside of Australia? His test average
is
terrible.
Well, they're lucky to reach double figures.
Yeah. It should be his bowling average.
Well, anyway, that's the issue of who goes to India is another case. But what, with all due respect, you can only, and it's the same in a game of footy or lawn bowls or anything else, you can only beat the opposition that walks out on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, the reality is that Travie's been man of the match the last two games.
Yep.
And a couple of blokes have made runs. But the reality is, I wish I'd made a Test 90. But the reality is
wish
that the West...
made 90 in my career.
The West Indies, they would not win a game in Sheffield Shield cricket.
Yeah.
Their standard has dropped so much. Now, don't let's get carried away about this win in 2 days in Brisbane. If South Africa had won the toss, they would have won the game.
Yeah, that's
probably.
Right. Exactly. So they had won the toss.
Yeah. The pitch was absolutely disgraceful.
Yep.
And when this genius curator, Sandersky, or however you say his name, was further asked about it, I'll quote this, asked whether he gave the pitch a pass mark, Sandersky declined to defend his work. Well, quote, he said, "The proof is in the pudding. The scorecards are there. You can't deny it. It is obviously not good enough for a match of this magnitude." So I would think he'd hand back his salary, wouldn't he? Huh?
I don't think he will.
And Cricket Queensland, they'd be pretty pleased about missing out on 3 days of catering. Eh?
Imagine that in Adelaide.
Oh, well.
You know, they're all on 100,000 plus, those caterers
right.
here.
But, I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah, it
and
is.
If anything, I mean, we can always... You know, there are arguments that Adelaide, although it's aesthetically pleasing to have a day-night game, is that it's only ever going to go 3 days because of the day-night factor.
Yeah, the swing.
They're losing out on money, and you could argue that the day-night game, if it has to happen, should be rotated around the grounds.
Yeah.
But how you can... I mean, like, without trying to be smart, everyone knew what was going to happen in that test in...
Oh,
at the Gabba.
Absolutely.
And it's just not
good
enough.
You look at the pitch, and as I said, I know not much about them, but seeing that greenness in that pitch, I thought, where the hell is this?
Well, I think the fact that, okay, Australia did lose 4 wickets in the second innings to get the victory, but this is, for our good listeners, This is the number of overs per innings in that test. 48.2 overs for the South African innings, 50.3 for the first Australian innings, 37.4 for South Africa's second innings, and 7.5 for Australia's second innings. An entire test match played and won in 144 overs. That's a joke. That's
ridiculous.
Absolutely.
That is, I mean, if you said that before the match, you'd think you're on some sort of drugs.
Well, you would. And also, you just say, well, that's unacceptable. That proposal is unacceptable. And it makes you really wonder what is going on. Anyway, that's enough of that.
That is unreal. We had the Strikers play the Thunder the other night.
Wow.
How was that? I got home and it was 2-for-5, the Thunder were, and they made 15 runs. That's schoolboy stuff.
Well, it is. And, you know, I actually, I'm not sure whether we're going to have time to discuss it other than the result, but I umpired a T20 game on Sunday, A-grade game between Sandy Creek and South Gawler, and there was a point in that game where things didn't look good, so actually a couple of them tried to bat properly. Now, in that game, all out for, what was it, 15?
15.
You know,
top score 4.
What was wrong with somebody saying, well, maybe we should just try and play out a couple of overs?
I mean, the guy that top scored got an inside edge and it ran down the boundary for 4. Yeah. I mean, he was top scorer.
Quite remarkable.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Anyway, before we have to close off, we should have had some Christmas bells or something to start the show.
I'll bring my grandkids down the back mucking around. Yeah. So.
Anyway, Barossa round 6 at last.
Wow, round 6.
Round 6, and we've had a complete round. Really?
Well, except Malala.
Well, we'll deal with them first.
Yeah, okay, deal with them first.
The Angaston versus Malala game resulted in a forfeit by Malala to Angaston. And in a sense, that shocked me until I heard. But on the first Saturday, it was the first opportunity that all those farmers out Malala way had of they just didn't have that a team, so they forfeited. Anyway, it evened up the competition a bit because at Malala were actually way ahead because they'd been lucky enough.
The weather's a bit different out that way.
Anyway, Sandy Creek 298 defeated Lindock 102, just for something different. After his 100 off of virtually no balls last game, Jamie Diner, 117 again from 56 balls, 5 fours, 12 sixes.
12 sixes.
He's bowled 12 overs, 6 maidens, and taken 3 for 13.
Oh, man of the match.
You reckon he'd probably get 3, 2, and 1, wouldn't you? There was nothing really special. Matt Robinson, who is a very good, solid all-rounder for Lindock, took 3 for 48. But anyway.
No Burgie?
Burgie did
always
not.
Always ask about Burgie.
He didn't.
Nothing?
Well, he didn't bat, so whether he missed the whole game, I'm not quite sure.
Fair bit on around Christmas time.
Probably probably the biggest shock is that Grenock defeated Tanunda 258 to 217, close game. Dan Rowan Felt made a 95 for Grenock. Ben Teal, 36. Trent Gers, 4 for 73 off of 18 overs. And Luke Snowden, 3 for 55. Bo Wall, 115.
I saw Bo made 115. Yes.
And Jonathan Justin, 37.
He'd be still feeling that now, I reckon, babe. He's stiff as a board.
But, without his effort, they would have been in big strife. Ben Rowan Felt got 5 for 70 in that inning. So it was a very good win to Grenock, actually.
Oh,
a bit of
is.
An upset, I would suggest.
Yeah, I would have thought.
South Gawler comfortably defeated Light Pass.
Ooh.
220.
Light Pass my side.
Yes. I guess you could argue that Light Pass did reasonably well. 6 for 186.
Okay.
Jared Croon, 39 for South Gawler. And David Golder, gee whiz, he's without him. 60, Rob McCard, 42. Yeah,
he's a good player too, eh?
Brian Norman for light pass, 6 for 62. Wow.
And well, then, obviously, Jumbo didn't have anything. No, he can't be the bowling coach yet. Therefore, him getting 6 for 62.
and David Goldner, 3 for 62. Rob McCard, 2 for 53. So that would be expected that South won. Yep. Now, I had the Newry versus Williston game. Newry made 289 on the first day. Williston comfortably out and were forced to follow on. But then
did what's the game his name, Josh Glenn off. Play?
No, didn't play. No.
Okay.
So they had some good contributors. Newry, Daniel Moore, 76. Carl Ellison, 66. Oh, yeah. Trent Payne, 3 for 43. Jamie Quirk, 3 for 53. And on the Sunday, the first round of, on the first game of the first round of the T20 Barossa co-op competition, which I umpired, Sandy Creek, 4 for 109, defeated South Gawler, 9 for 105.
Okay.
It was an entertaining game. Yep. Zach Krutner, 29, not out for Sandy Creek, and Isaac Werner batted very well, made 55 of their 109.
Yep.
Nothing special with the bowling. And then South Gawler, Matt Stewart, 27, Tyson Golder, 24, and David Golder, 22. Lee Hill for Sandy, very, very good A-grade bowler, 2 for 10 from his 3 overs. Wow. So there you go. There's the cricket all over.
Very good. No other one-day scores, or was that
no,
it? That,
no, they play them sort of separately days. Oh, okay. Yes, and it's spread out over basically the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so light pass didn't get a gig.
No. Okay. Not, oh, well, they will eventually.
But with a Jumbo might play a couple games in the one days.
Well,
we'd probably be a one-day specialist, wouldn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could
be. But anyway, we'll wait and see.
So anyway, well, look, that's it for the
Merry Christmas to you and your lovely partner. And our producer, Sal.
Yes, and we wish you and Sharon the very same, and our listeners, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas
and
to
a Happy New Year.
Yep.
And may Santa shine upon us all, as it were. So, until next year, this is Rick.
This is Phil.